our Christian race. We're all in a race that we started when we first stood, and we need to cast aside every weight and sin which easily besets us, and we need to endure, and then we need to finish. And I'll just open up in a word of prayer now, get started off on the right foot. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you that we can all get together out here, Lord, freely, without fear of persecution. Thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. We know without him, we'd have nothing, and our lives would be without purpose. I pray that you'll help ease my nerves a little bit, and that everyone will come away with a little bit of extra knowledge gained, and that we'll be able to apply it in our lives throughout the rest of the week and throughout the rest of our lives. Thank you again for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so like I said before, first we need to stand, and I'll just ask everybody to turn to 1 Corinthians 15:1. And it reads, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which you also received, and in which you stand." So as you can see, standing, that is our first point. Before we can start to even run, we need to stand. We need to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we need to grow in him, as we see in 1 Peter 2:2. First, we start out with baby food until we are developed more, and then we get fed meat and bread, and that's what helps us grow. And the meat and bread, that's God's word and our prayer time. And without that, we can't stand. And as you all know, you can't run if you're not standing. You can't run sitting down. And another point on standing is our zeal. It seems like everybody, when they're first saved, everyone starts out strong. You get fired up and you want to get going, but then after a few years, everyone seems to cool down a little bit. I know I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody, but I know that it's really easy to just sort of fall apart a little bit that way. But I encourage everybody and challenge everybody to try to get the zeal that they had when they were first saved and bring it back. Because in a race, it's really easy to start out strong, start sprinting, but then slow down to a walk. And hopefully none of us are walking here and we're all still going strong. And I'll go right into my second point, and that is we need to cast aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us. I was running a race once. I'll just have a quick story here. I was running a 10K race once, and I was running beside a guy, and he was in good shape, and I was keeping up with him, and it felt good. I had a great pace going, and then at the 2K mark, my shoe fell off. So I sort of panicked a little bit. I was just like, oh no, what do I do? So I ran back and got my shoe, caught up to again. And I tried to put my shoe on, but the adrenaline was pumping like it is now. My hands were shaking, and I couldn't think straight. So I just picked up my shoe and kept on running beside him. But yeah, it's funny. But it starts to slow you down when you don't have your shoe on. Your foot gets sore. My other leg was fine. My other leg with the shoe on is well protected. And I could have kept going strong, but I started to fall behind a little bit because my shoe fell off, my foot hurt. So by the end of it, my dad almost caught up to me. My dad almost caught up to me. So I knew that I could have done a lot better than that. So I'll just turn to Hebrews 12:1-2. And it reads, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And so, first off, as we can see, sin, it'll catch us up, and just like it will with my shoe falling off, it'll start to hinder us slowly at first. It'll seem like it's not affecting us, but at the end of the day, when we look back, we can really see that it really was affecting us. So we need to make sure that we we get good with God. We need to keep short accounts with Him and make sure that we're staying right on top of any sin that does creep into our lives. I'll turn now to Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with that yoke of bondage." And first of all, I'd like to just look at, I like the word liberty. It makes me sort of happy. Christ has made us free. He's taken away everything that could tie us up. He's taken away all our sin. And all we need to do is look to Him and ask again for forgiveness and move on with our lives. We need to make sure that we do ask for forgiveness. We can't just look at our sin and just sort of shrug it off. It doesn't work that way. We need to take care of it. And I'll move now to my third point. These are my longer points. Don't worry, Scotty. I got a little bit more. All right, and that's endure. And I'll look again to Hebrews 12, and I'll read 1-4 this time. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted bloodshed, striving against sin." And I looked up the word striving. Striving—that's my favorite word, I think, in the Bible. I like the word strive, and the definition of that is to eagerly. One second, I have it on my other side. Endeavor earnestly, labor hard, or to struggle. And I like that. We need to strive our very hardest. We need to do our best. And right now, oh yeah. So we need to make sure that we're striving our very hardest. And another thing is, we've started our race, and we need to make sure we finish it. We need to endure right to the end. You see it all the time, where people will start a project, start making a table or something, and they'll make the legs, and then they'll just slowly get the top of the table done, but they won't complete it. We need to make sure that we do all the steps of the process. If we don't get there, then we don't really have anything. We just have a few legs and a table counter just laying on the ground. And we have the example of that with Jesus. He endured everything for us. He went through mockings and scoffings and beatings, and eventually he went to the cross. He did the whole thing for us. And he loved us, and the reason why he did that is because he loves us. He loves us so much that he died for us. And he died for our souls, to save our souls. And the least we can do in return is to offer some of our souls back. We need to give him some of our time, make sure that we're trying to honor and glorify him. And I'll look now to James 5:11. And it says, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job, and have seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." We all know the story of Job, or hopefully we all do. He lost absolutely everything. But if he could look back on his life and look at that time, he'd see that it was just a little trial. He had to endure through it, and if he hadn't endured through it, then he wouldn't have ended up with the end result. He got everything back. I think it's tenfold. I'm not precise, but I think he got everything back tenfold in the end. So the way he did this, He had faith. First of all, he had faith. He had faith in God that God was going to, in the end, make everything right. He needed to trust God's plan for us, and we need to trust God's plan for us too. And he also had patience. He didn't wait for a day and then like, all right, that's enough. I'm just gonna go home now. Well, he didn't have home, but he didn't just give up. He kept on going and waited. He waited to see God's plan through to the very end, because, like I said before, if he could look back, he'd see that God is just, he's just testing him, and he needed to endure through that, or else he wouldn't have gotten everything back in the end. And also, Job's situation, he might have looked at it and he might have seen it as unfair. Like, I've been a good man all my life. Like, why is this happening to me? And it's true. Like, great people, things happen. Like, someone might get in a car accident. Like, an accident might happen. He loses somebody, and then they get mad. They get mad at God. They're just like, why are you doing this? Like, I've been a good person all my life. Like, I'm trying my hardest, but if we could just look back, it's hindsight 2020. If we can just look back to that time, we need to have faith and patience that God will bring us through to a better place and see that he used that trial to build us up. And I have one more example of endurance, and that's found in First Corinthians 10:13, I should say. And it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except for such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, and the temptation also also make way of the escape, that you will be able to bear it." And I looked up the wrong passage there. I'm sorry. It's supposed to be James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. James 1, 12 to 15. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." And so the other thing we need to endure is temptation. As I read already, that God won't put us in an unfair position. He won't give us a temptation that it's impossible for us to resist. He will always put us in a place where we can win. But we need our desires to be focused on the right place for us to win. Like it says in James chapter 1. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. So if our desire is on the world, we will be tempted and we will fall to that temptation. But if our desires are on God, then we'll be all right. We'll be have our mind fixed on the right thing and we'll be all right. And we all will fail. We all will fail eventually. We'll all fall to some temptation. And we need to make sure that when we do fall to temptation, that we get right again with God. And right now, I will look to Mark 9, verse 47. And Mark 9, 47. And it says, "If an eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, for it is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." And if our eye is what's causing us to sin, then we need to do something about it. We can't just put it away. It will hinder us. We need to make sure that we're dealing with it. We need to pray about it a lot. And we need to make sure that we're praying about it, like I said, and we can endure it if we look to God. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But without God, we can't do things. We can't do things on our own. We need God's help. And even after we pray, it still might be a problem for us. And another thing we can do after that is we can take a next step. If it's our eye that's causing us to sin, maybe we're watching television all the time and things come on that we don't need to be watching, or maybe we're wasting too much time on the computer. We might need to pluck it out. We might need to get rid of that thing entirely, and that way we'll be able to use our time more profitably and efficiently in the ways of God. And I'll look to 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 7, and then 3, 1 to 9. Second Timothy 2, verses 1 to 7. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must first partake of all the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So as we can see here, we need to endure everything. We need to endure the temptations, the hardships, and the trials. And if we fall, we need to again make it right with God. And we need to also, again, try not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. Like I mentioned before, the sin that so easily ensnares us. It's funny that it ensnares us so easily. I think we'd learn our lesson after one or two times, but we don't. We seem to come back to it time and time again, and that will hinder us if we're not careful. We need to make that right with God. And my last point here that I have is finishing the race. So we'll turn to 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. For everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run, thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So, as you can see, we need to train ourselves to win this race. The person who just shows up for the race and hasn't tried at all, they haven't woken up early mornings to prepare for the race, they probably won't win the race unless they have some like crazy natural talent. The person who's training their very hardest day and night, they will win the race. And it's sort of funny how hard people will train for running races. Like all they win is a medal. Like that's great, but it's going to fade. But the reward that we're going to get, it'll last forever, and that's pretty cool. So we should be putting in a lot more effort than the people that are running. We have such a higher prize that we can win. We just need to finish the race. And I'll look to Philippians 3:14. I press toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And this should be the prize that we're really striving for. The call of God in Christ Jesus. That's so much better than a crown. Like, even if we didn't have a crown, just being with Jesus in paradise forever, that should be more than enough reward for us. And that's what makes me smile every time I read that. And again, our other motivation should be, we should be striving our hardest to hear the saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Like, how awesome would that be to hear? Like, we can't even imagine. And I just have one more last thought on this ending point, and that is, we don't know when a race is going to end. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be from an accident, it could be from the second coming. I'll just look to Galatians 6, 9, and 10. And before I read those verses, I remember something else I was going to say. We have a teacher at our school, Charlottetown Rural. She passed away just last week, and I was just thinking about that, and it made me think. I was like, if she knew that day was going to be her last day, how would she live it? I bet she wouldn't went to school that day. But it makes you wonder, how would you spend your last day? And that's how we should spend every day, like it was our last day. We should be trying hard to wake up, enjoy every second of it. We should be trying to make sure that we're right into the Word, maybe evangelizing a little bit, I don't know. But we should be living every day like it's our last. And now I'll read the verses in Galatians. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Sorry. And like it says before, let us not grow weary while doing good. We have such a fantastic opportunity now. We'll only be on earth for a little while, and we should be using this opportunity to the best of our abilities. We should be making sure we are living every day like our last, and we're doing everything in our power to make sure that we won't regret any second of it. And I'll just summarize everything I've said here, because Scott's looking eager to get up here, so I'll just summarize everything real quick. First, we need to stand. Then we need to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Then we must endure the hardships, the trials, and the temptations. And then we must last finish the race. And I'll just close in prayer now. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I pray that we've all taken something away from this. I pray that you'll help Scott as he comes up next to say a little bit extra about your word. I pray that we'll all learn something from that and be able to apply it in our lives throughout the rest of the week. Thank you for this day, and I pray that you'll help us to use it like it'd be our last day, Lord, that we won't regret anything when we're all done. Thank you most of all for your son, Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he died on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.